It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Amid Kohl's decline, Ohio Valley politicians are getting big on job training, but such retraining programs have a poor record in connecting dislocated workers with good local employment.
And so I think that job training keeps being promoted because it solves a political problem, both for elected officials and for employers, but it doesn't do anything for the economics.
That story from the Ohio Valley Resource coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The United States Supreme Court has declined to hear a case involving the 2018 impeachment of West Virginia Supreme Court justices. As Dave Mistich reports, state lawmakers petitioned the nation's highest court for a review after an ad hoc bench in the state Supreme Court halted impeachment proceedings in October of 2018.
Justices announced Monday they would not hear the case and offered no additional comment or reason. The West Virginia House of Delegates impeached four of the state's five justices last year following an investigation into lavish spending on office renovations, among other accusations. Justice Beth Walker stood trial and was found not guilty on one count of maladministration. The other trials in the state Senate were tossed after then-Chief Justice Margaret Workman challenged her own impeachment. Workman argued that the impeachments violated the separation of powers doctrine in the West Virginia Constitution. An ad hoc bench heard Workman's challenge. The temporary justices ruled that lawmakers overstepped their bounds and were flawed in their impeachment procedure. Senate President Mitch Carmichael expressed disappointment in the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to not hear the case. He says he hopes to find a way to, quote, right the wrong made by the temporary court. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
The West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources is working to address a state and national shortage of medical professionals with a new financial assistance initiative, Glennis Board reports.
The statewide Therapist Loan Repayment Project is aimed at increasing the number of therapists and counselors within West Virginia's behavioral health workforce. The new program allows recent master's level graduates and students in their final year of a master's level therapist program to apply for up to $20,000 in loan repayment for their educational expenses. In exchange, they have to commit to working for 2 years at an eligible workplace within West Virginia. Candidates must qualify to practice in the state and agree to terms and conditions. Applications must be received by November 4th. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Glennis Board.
The U.S. Department of Labor recently announced nearly $5 million for worker training programs in Appalachia. It is the latest influx of funding aimed at blunting the job losses in the region's coal sector. But critics of these programs say worker training alone is no solution. Becca Schimmel reports.
Bobby Bowman mined coal in West Virginia for 12 years before his employer shut down.
And I don't think that mine will ever open again.
Bowman decided to do a 4-week training program offered by the United Mine Workers Career Center. He enjoyed it and earned a certification in heavy equipment operation, but when he came back home, he struggled to find a job in the field. So Bowman took matters into his own hands.
So I sent myself through truck driving school. And that's what I'm doing today.
Bowman is not alone. Amid Kohl's decline, politicians are betting big on job training, with millions directed at those who lost jobs in mining and at power plants. But such retraining programs have a poor record in actually connecting dislocated workers with local employment that pays a comparative wage. Ted Bettner is the executive director of the left-leaning West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy. He says job training hasn't made up for the number of jobs lost by the coal industry.
And there's great examples of ones here in Appalachia who have trained people for jobs, and then they could not find employment. And you have to realize, too, that a lot of this is in the backdrop of 40 years of wage stagnation across this country, and especially men in West Virginia.
He says job training needs to be connected to employment that pays well because it's difficult to go from a $75,000 a year coal mining job to one that pays $12 or $15 an hour. In Kentucky, where miners have been hurt by recent coal bankruptcies, Josh Benton is the deputy secretary of the state's Education and Workforce Development Cabinet. Benton says the state has had some success retraining people to work in the healthcare industry, but the real challenge is finding jobs where that displaced worker lives.
And, you know, the challenge that we face is not necessarily are the training programs effective. It is, are there other industries for those displaced workers to go to work.
Benton says the jobs that have been created in technology or healthcare don't make up for the ones lost in the energy sector over the last 10 years. Gordon Lafer is a professor at the University of Oregon who has written about the failures of job training programs. He says job training is a popular talking point for politicians.
And so I think that job training keeps being promoted because it solves a political problem, both for elected officials and for employers, but it doesn't do anything for the economics.
Lafer says the employment picture in the Ohio Valley is especially important because of its connection to climate change. He says talk of a Green New Deal and a move away from polluting industries should include a just transition for those who would lose jobs.
You know, it's just not in good faith to say one group of people is going to pay the price for saving the planet.
Lafer says one way to do that is to train people and invest in the industries that can't move to a different country with cheaper labor. Some of those industries include healthcare, construction, education, and tourism. Economist Ted Bettner says infrastructure investments could help create a stable economy that works for everyone.
Have we upgraded our antiquated grid? That's thousands and thousands of jobs in West Virginia if we just upgrade the grid.
As automation continues to grow and the coal industry declines, more people will be displaced. The challenge is training those workers for jobs that pay well and aren't likely to be outsourced or automated. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Trailblazing international boxer and gay rights advocate Christy Salters is a Wyoming County native. She was inducted into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame in 2016. Christy returned to the Mountain State in late September to speak at a Fairness West Virginia gala. Salters sat down with reporter Emily Allen before her address. She discussed her career in boxing and her work advocating for survivors of domestic abuse. Just a word of caution, in this interview we discuss and describe domestic violence.
Fighting out of Orlando, Florida, by way of Mullins, West Virginia.
It's 1996. We're in Las Vegas. Christy Martin is in the ring fighting the Irish boxer Deirdre Gogarty.
Ladies and gentlemen, recognized as the women's pound-for-pound champion, introducing the coal miner's daughter, Christy Martin.
In about a week, news organizations will report millions of households worldwide are tuned into this moment as Christy Martin wins the six-round match.
Fire right back. The only thing that will stop her is the bell.
24 years later, Christy, who now goes by the name Christy Salters, remains a pioneer in women's boxing. But she's also raising awareness about domestic abuse and gay rights in the U.S. That includes her home state of West Virginia. Christy recently spoke at the 10th anniversary gala for Fairness West Virginia, a civil rights group for LGBTQIA+ West Virginians. We spoke in a small room off to the side while everyone got situated for the evening. Growing up in Wyoming County, Christy says she never imagined she would become a professional fighter.
My dad watched boxing a little bit in the 70s, late 70s, 80s, a little. I would watch the fights with my dad, but I never grew up thinking this is what I want to be.
One of her first competitions was the Mean Mountaineer in Beckley. She says she entered for fun and ultimately won two of the three fights by knockout.
I had never seen another woman fight when I fought. And that goes back to even in the Tough Man contest. They had never allowed women to fight in those here in West Virginia. Now women are boxing in the Olympics. Clarissa Shield has won two gold medals. We've had Katie Taylor, also is a gold medal winner from Ireland, that's getting big exposure now as a professional. It's changed a lot.
Christy moved to Tennessee after graduating in 1990 from Concord University, which was Concord College at the time. She signed with promoter Don King shortly thereafter. It was also in the early 90s that Christy married her trainer, Jim Martin.
And for 20 years, he used my sexuality like as a blackmail tool. I was up front with him from the beginning. I told him about past relationships I had had. He was fine, you know. But then as time went on, he would tell me, "I'm going to tell the world you're lesbian. I'm going to out you. I'm going to tell your family."
Despite the paradise it looked like she was living on TV, Christy says her life was terrible.
There were times when I can remember just being in Las Vegas and walking through a casino and thinking, wow, how awesome would it be to be with someone that I love, sharing these really, really cool experiences that I'm having and sharing them with somebody that I love and that loved me. He didn't love me. I was his ATM. I was his personal ATM. I was just his money machine. So finally, I just got tired. I didn't care anymore. And I left.
She left Martin in 2010. That November, she says he tried to kill her.
He stabbed me repeatedly, punctured my lung, cut my calf muscle almost completely from my leg, shot me, left me what he thought was dead on the floor. But God had another plan, and I was able to get up and get out.
Today, Martin is in prison for attempted murder. Christy divorced him, and today she speaks on behalf of women and children in domestic abuse situations. A few years ago, she married her wife, fellow boxer Lisa Hollowine.
Today, I would give anything to be the person I am today, to have been this person throughout my boxing career. Yeah, I mean, I'm married to Lisa Hollowine, and, you know, we're gay wherever we are.
Christy says giving back to her home state is important to her.
I didn't have anybody growing up like I could that I knew that was gay, and I could, you know, go talk to them and ask them, what do I do? How do I do this? Can you talk to my mom? You know, and just to, for parents to understand that it's not the end of the world and it's not about you. But so many, we have this, what is he, a representative, senator, or whatever, that basically threatened to drown his, he says he's a Christian, but threatened to drown his children if they were gay.
Christy confirmed she's speaking about Eric Porterfield, a West Virginia House delegate from Mercer County, and comments he made in the 2019 legislative session.
Yeah, I mean, you're not a Christian, and you make veiled threats to drown your children, you know. You know, I'm embarrassed for him. But I'm embarrassed for me and my state because people, you know, outside of West Virginia already look down on us and think that we're behind and we're not smart and all this negativity. And for him to come out and say something like that, I mean, it feeds into the stereotype that West Virginia has.
In reality, Christy says, West Virginia is moving in the right direction.
I'm proud to be here. Just to be at an event like this is huge, and it is changing. Even in my small town, Mullins, and you know, Wyoming County, it is changing. People are becoming more accepting of other people. And look, what I'm doing doesn't in any way affect what you're doing. So, and. This is the way I see it. I'm the same person I was before you knew I was gay. So if you loved me before, are you going to tell me you don't love me now because you know I'm gay? I mean, it makes no sense. I'm still the same person.
While Christy is no longer in the ring, she's still fighting to raise awareness for survivors of emotional and physical abuse. She says she looks forward to helping facilitate more inclusive communities with groups like Fairness West Virginia. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.